Psalm 11, verse 3, and our topic is the postmodern mind, a biblical critique. postmodern mind, a biblical critique, a very difficult subject, but we'll try to at least introduce you to it today. If you want to know why things are so crazy today, especially in the universities, and whether people are against free speech, and people are basically accusing everybody of being racist and everybody of being homophobes and sexist and all that, you need to know about the postmodern mind, or postmodernism. And here's our text. So the foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? The 20th century is the century of modernism and secular humanism. It is the first century since the rise of Christendom where the Western intelligentsia, universities, colleges, the media, the arts, and the political sphere and medicine, etc., by and large rejected the biblical world and life view in favor of atheistic naturalism. But it's really the culmination of the Enlightenment. If you divide history, you've got what is called the Age of Faith. The Age of Faith really lasts from about the fall of the Roman Empire to really the 1700s. And the Age of Faith is of course, largely Roman Catholicism, but it's this idea that we live by revelation. We live by the Word of God. And, of course, because of Romanism, they live by tradition as well. So Roman Catholicism was a perverted form of Christianity with one foot in the old paganism, the old Roman, Greco-Roman paganism. Then in the 1600s, you have the beginning of the Enlightenment with Francis Bacon and his empiricism, the development of science. You had Descartes, I think, therefore I am, and this idea that, and of course Locke, who's around 1680 or so. And the idea is this, and this is the development of the Enlightenment. And you have to understand the Enlightenment is divided into the right-wing Enlightenment and the left-wing Enlightenment. The left-wing would be the French Revolution. The right-wing would be people like Locke, who said things like, well, we believe that we should follow natural law. And they would speak of there being a God, and they would speak of there being ultimate truths, and so forth, but they didn't depend on revelation. And then the idea became popular that we need to depend on reason, not revelation, not faith, but reason, and the use of the intellect is the way to attain truth. But they still believed in absolute truths. They believed that there ought to be the purpose of science and the purpose of men is to search for the truth using human reason, apart from revelation. And then, of course, the development of modern science, which really comes based on Christianity, the idea that there's a universe, not a multiverse. And this idea that you can study things empirically. There's true objective reality. And, of course, this assumes that men are made in the image of God, which they didn't necessarily believe. But you assume there's a universe, not a multiverse. There is an objective reality. And if you study that, and things are repeatable, then you have the foundations of modern science. But the thing is about this, the Enlightenment age, especially the right-wing Enlightenment, not the radicals of the philosophes of France and the radicals of the French Revolution, but this idea that there still was truth, there's absolute truth, there still was objective ethics that people had to follow, and there was objectivity, and we want to search for the truth. And then out of this, and of course, they had one foot in the Christian worldview of the Middle Ages. They still had a foot in that, and that influenced their ethics, and that influenced science, and that influenced their thinking, this idea of objective truth, that there are absolutes, that there are true things that are real that we should study. And then out of that we had capitalism, free market capitalism, the rise of Western science, the rise of things like pluralism, pluralistic democracy, constitutional democracies, and so forth, instead of having a Christian state. So there's some good things or some negative things, but they had one foot in Christianity, but they still believed in absolutes. The 20th century comes along, and it's in favor of a radical atheistic naturalism. And the thing that really alters things, in my view, is, of course, a macroevolutionary theory, which is accepted by the late 1800s. And it destroys the concept of absolutes. It destroys the concept of objective truth, even though a lot of people would still say there is objective truth. But if everything is evolving, everything is a chance flux universe, then the idea of absolute truths is really kind of ridiculous. But they abandon the Bible as the inspired, infallible word of God, the sole authority for faith and life, in favor of secular humanism and science, falsely so-called. The 20th century was the time when materialistic atheism, socialism, government intervention in virtually everything, social engineering, and statism became dominant. And so this is the logical extension of the Enlightenment views, where we say we're not going to listen to revelation anymore. We're going to just follow natural law, their version of natural law, and human reason, and empiricism. And this is what they came up with, which is a kind of a vicious secular humanism of the 20th century. And, of course, there's influences. There's Kierkegaard, who said that we need to there's influences of postmodernism before the modern era. Before the rise of postmodernism, people like Kierkegaard, who said we must crucify reason and just follow feelings and experience. And then, of course, so there's precursors, but and we'll look at Immanuel Kant a little bit. He's another one who said that you can use reason to prove atheism, and you can use reason to prove the existence of God. So we can't really depend on reason. And he goes toward a subjectivism. So he's kind of a revolutionary character, and he's writing in the 1780s. He died in 1804. But the time, the 20th century was a time when materialistic atheism, socialism, government intervention, virtually everything, social engineering, and statism became dominant. Such thinking, whether fascism, national socialism, communist, international socialism, or imperialism, of course, has drenched the world in blood. More men died at the hands of tyrannical states or because of states acting as God in the 20th century than all previous centuries combined. The imperial armies of Rome or Persia were nothing compared to the regimes of Hitler and Stalin. So that's the culmination of modernism, rationalism. It led to that. It led to something very vicious and something very negative, and we see this already in the French Revolution. Now, when we discuss the world view of postmodernism, we must not assume a sharp or perfect demarcation between the old idealistic secular humanism and the 21st century way of thinking called postmodernism. Postmodernism really gets going in the 70s, but it's generally not becoming a dominant factor until 1990 or so. Postmodernism is simply the logical continuum or outworking of modernism and secular humanism. And note this, man-made worldviews tend to become more epistemologically aware over time. They tend to become more epistemologically self-consistent over time. And so I think it's the natural outgrowth of modernism, and I'll explain in a moment. If the foundations are irrational, absurd, and arbitrary, as that worldview becomes more consistent and adopts positions that may have been not held widely before, but have become acceptable in recent decades. And this is this idea that there is no truth. They just openly say there is no truth. There's no truth at all. There is no, don't even try to search for objectivity. Don't even try to search for real ethics out there. There are no real ethics out there. Everything is subjective. Everything is arbitrary. And yet, inconsistently, they turn around and they want to dominate everything politically. And we'll see why that is in a moment. In the Western nations that adopted secular humanism, we must understand that the worldview of modernism came into the Christian worldview environment. As a new paradigm of way of thinking is adopted in society, the old way of thinking unconsciously affects the way people think. So the Enlightenment thinkers, especially the right-wing Enlightenment thinkers, a lot of them were deists, a lot of them would still speak of God being a first cause, and they still believed in truth, objective truth. They still believed in objective ethics. They still believed that you could discover truth by looking at things. Well, that's gone. The old secular humanists still talked much about truth and something real, objective, and necessary. The ethical thinking of the Christian world life view still affected the way many secular humanists spoke, and many people of the Enlightenment spoke, especially people like John Locke and so forth. John Locke talked about the existence of God. He talked about the need of God's law, but he said he didn't want us to go to Revelation. He wanted us to go to natural law and so forth, and he believed men were basically born good. which is a tenet of the Enlightenment. Men are either neutral or they're born good. It was men like Hitler, Stalin, and Chairman Mao that were putting into practice a much more consistent form of secular humanism. Postmodernists are modernists or secular humanists who are much more consistent with secular humanism. Yet they're not, their worldview is not consistent. On the one hand, they say there's no ethics, there's no absolutes, there's no truth, there's nothing objective. However, they want to control everybody. And they want to impose their views on everybody. And that's why they're against freedom of speech. They don't let people who disagree with them speak on campus and so forth. We must keep this in mind as we discuss postmodernism. It is simply a more consistent form of secular humanism. The farther each generation gets away from the old biblical, Bible-believing worldview, the more postmodern people become. Now, the reason this study is important is so we as Christians can understand why Democrats are the so-called progressives and why the universities and colleges in our day act the way they do. They deliberately lie about virtually everything. They don't believe there's truth. What's not important is truth. What's important to them is power, and they want to impose their power on society. And this is particularly important from the French postmodernists. Every one of them came out of the communist movement. And what happened was is that by the late 1960s, the old communist movement was in crisis because it became quite clear by the 1960s that every form of communism in the world ended in disaster. The Soviet Union, Cuba, Vietnam, Cambodia, all these things, they all end in disaster. So postmodernism became a replacement, in a sense, for communism with the same goals. Totalitarianism, complete control, the loss of freedom of speech, the loss of liberties, as they impose their worldview. But instead of the crisis being between free market capitalism or the bourgeoisie and the working class, and the bourgeoisie being the oppressors, they've transferred that idea to everything. Men are the oppressors of women. And therefore, there's postmodernist feminist books out there that talk about intercourse between a husband and a wife being a form of oppression, a form of slavery, a form of rape, a form of domination. And of course, when you hear people today talk about all white men are racist and we have a racist society, that comes from postmodernism. Instead of looking at things objectively and saying, yeah, there's a few people out there that are really wacky and they say racist things and they're racist and they're really evil. But most people are decent and they treat blacks wonderfully and they're not racist at all. Instead of saying that, the fact that you're white and you've grown up as being white, you automatically are a racist. That's where this stuff comes from postmodernism. It's good to know about this. They deliberately lie about everything. They have adopted rank propaganda based on postmodern view of reality and rejected a search for truth. They have rejected objective justice and freedom in society in favor of a raw quest for power. It's all about power. It's all about becoming a social justice warrior. And because it comes out of communism in the left, everything they stand for is left-wing and pro-communist, pro-socialism. You know, anti-white man, stimulating the racial divide, all these things come out of postmodernism. And they were real popular in France. They came to America. They were in Great Britain, and they spread to the universities. So, these professors at the universities that are into this stuff, these postmodernist professors, they don't view their job as teaching people objective truth about history or objective truth about literature or learning the great literature of the West and learning great things about... No, everything is propaganda. Everything is simply oppression. And so their goal is to overturn everything and destroy everything and raise up a new form of socialism, a new quest for power. In addition, we need to understand postmodernism for apologetical reasons. To present the gospel assumes a Christian view of reality where there are fixed truths and absolute ethics. Okay, if you don't believe that there's anything, there are no ethics, there are no absolutes, there's no right or wrong, it's pretty difficult to convince somebody that he's a sinner and that he's offended God. A person who has unwittingly adopted a postmodern concept of reality thinks in terms of people subjectively determining their own truths. And I was reading one of these guys, he was from England. He said, look, we don't look at truth in terms like we don't look at reality in terms of like a physicist who's studying material things or whatever. We look in terms of reality like a poet. Instead of trying to find something objective, what we want to do is we want to just come up with our own spin on things, our own view of reality. Emotions, you see. And you need to understand this when you're trying to witness to people. They say things like Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection are true for you. They work for you, but not for me. Or they'll say, well, Jesus works for you. And I'm talking about in the popular culture. But incense and lots of sex with different persons, that works for me. Or crystals work for me. Or tarot cards work for me. There's a kind of unconscious existentialism where sincerity and personal commitment is what is important. Not if something is actually true. And if you know this and you're witnessing to people and they're saying crazy things, you'll understand why. And you need to convince them God created the world. The world is truly objective. The world truly exists. It's objective and truth is objective. And you can study and learn truth. In past centuries in the West, most people had a common frame of reference. Even though a person may not have been a Christian, they held to things like ethical absolutes, they're good and evil, they're objective things. They did not believe in a virtual infinite number of personal truths. Of course, they wouldn't say anything's a truth. That's against their view. There are no truths that are regarded as true, even though they contradict each other. So I know it's kind of crazy. Now, scholars tend to view the modern period as beginning in the 1700s. Some say it's 1789 with the fall of the Bastille in France. The modern period really starts during the 1600s with empirical science, the rise of empirical science, Bacon, the rise of philosophers who are teaching. We cannot depend on revelation at all. We cannot depend on faith at all. We depend solely on reason, human reason, autonomous human reason. And we can attain truth through autonomous human reason, and we can attain truth with empiricism apart from divine revelation. That's the old way of doing things. That's the medieval way. That's the old age of faith. We don't like that. So they turn to reason. and that really gets solidified by 1789. Of course, they implemented a reign of terror in France after the revolution. The revolutionaries in France are a very left-wing view of modernism. They hated all religion. They created autonomous man's role in every, exalted autonomous man's role in every aspect of society and culture. Human reason alone should determine truth. And men, using reason, could solve all problems in the world and bring in paradise on earth simply by using human reason. The logical stepchild of this thinking was Marxism, which used brute force to bring in the ideals of the Enlightenment. And, of course, when we discuss Marxism, we have to bring in a macroevolutionary theory. Because that really... Darwin and the rise of macroevolution, people stopped talking about natural laws, objective ethics floating out there in the void. They stopped talking about that. Then they started believing in positivism, where men just simply make it up as they go along. So it's a continuum. Postmodernism is a continuism of modernism. The French Enlightenment brought in the guillotine and the Reign of Terror. The Marxists brought in firing squads, unimaginable tortures, and the Gulag Archipelago. It is generally agreed that the modern period ended around 1989. Postmodernism really gets going in the 1970s, especially in France. And 1989 is the fall of the Berlin Wall and the philosophy of the 60s counterculture being adopted widely in society. The great transition period would be 1964 to 1989. With postmodernism, the subjective will and emotions have replaced rationalism. Even though atheists will still speak of reason and empiricism as a source of ultimate truth, there are still atheists that talk that way in universities. But postmodernism is growing in popularity. And they outright admit there is no truth. And it's wrong to search for truth. What we want to do is we each have our own narratives based on language. We need to deconstruct the language, deconstruct the literature, deconstruct the history for the sake of overthrowing the old order and imposing power, our own power on society. Rationalism, of course, has come to be replaced by irrationalism. There's a really good book on that. The search for truth and paradise through reason as a unifier of humanity has been replaced by multiculturalism and the balkanization of society. The secular humanists still yearn for one world order, but their philosophy of subjectivism and propaganda for power leads to divisions, hatred, and warfare. Whites are racist. Men are sexist and homophobes. It goes on and on and on, and this is all being taught in the universities. There is no truth. What we want to do is impose power and have power. Morality has been replaced by relativism. Every man his own God. Reality has been replaced by propaganda masquerading as truth. They still talk as though they're in favor of truth, but they don't believe in truth. The goal of the postmodernists is not to convince people through logic or reason, but to control people through raw power. And that's what's going on in our universities, and that's why you need to understand this to understand the Democratic Party, because they lie constantly. And how can they lie so much? I mean, why don't they tell the truth? Well, because they don't care about truth. They care about power. Well, let us turn our attention to various aspects of postmodernism, remembering that it is a more radical, consistent form of secular humanism or modernism. Number one, the first thing that we want to need to examine is the postmodern way of thinking about ethics and truth. Truth is regarded as relative, and there is no such thing as absolute ethics. There is no truth. You determine what's true for yourself. But a consistent postmodernist would say that's not even truth. According to the an extensive poll taken in the 1990s, 66% of Americans believe there is no such thing as absolute truth. 66%. It's worse now. This is the 1990s. Of those between 18 and 25, the percentage is 72% believe there's no truth. These statistics are a bit dated, but I believe the numbers would be worse if the poll was taken today. So about two-thirds of Americans and about three-quarters of young people do not believe that absolute truths exist. Where do they get that from? Well, they got it from the universities and the culture. Even though 88% of evangelicals say the Bible is the Word of God, 53% of evangelicals say there are no absolutes. That's hard to believe, but that's what the poll says. About 20% of evangelicals voted for Hillary Clinton. Some polls say 27%. A rabid pro-abortionist, and that is a person in favor of slaughtering and murdering unborn babies. She's a hardcore statist and a secular humanist, yet evangelicals had no problem voting for her, at least 20% of them. There were the old secular humanists or modernists like Sartre, who held to this position, but secular humanists prior to the 1960s would still talk about truth and ethics like a Christian, even though they were being inconsistent with their own worldview. The older humanists would deny biblical revelation. Okay, they're the children of the Enlightenment. But they would still argue that truth or absolutes could be attainable through rationalism or empiricism, or both. And they still believed in a kind of objectivism, where what would be true of a man in India is also true for someone in the United States. Now, such views are inconsistent with macroevolutionary theory. That's why I believe modernism has fallen apart and been replaced by postmodernism. Because once you accept a macroevolutionary view of the universe, which becomes popular, let's say after 1880, and becomes widespread by 1930, once you believe in macroevolutionary theory, where the universe is in a constant state of flux and it's basically formed by chance, plus matter plus time, once you believe that, you can't really believe in truths. There is no objective truth. Everything's in flux. That would be the only truth. But today's secular humanists are more consistent. What one wants to do, especially in the sexual realm, is made good or ethical by one's feelings or autonomous self-determination. And there are precursors to this. Kierkegaard. What is Kierkegaard? 1840? And he's the guy who said we have to crucify reason and exalt experience. I'm paraphrasing. And you determine truth by your sincerity, by your experience and sincerity of that experience. Truth is not something out there. We reject reason. And then, of course, it was around the 1880s, and who's the guy with the big handlebar mustache, the German guy? Come on, Quaid, what's his name? The guy who, the will to power, Nietzsche. Nietzsche's the guy who said, truth is not important, what's important is the will to power, the Superman. So, what's made good by one's feelings or autonomous self-determination. Regarding marriage, the family, and sexuality, God's special revelation, transcendent ethical norms cannot be appealed to. One's autonomous lifestyle choice is the sole authority for determining what is good. If you're a man and you like sex with other men, then that's ethical and that's good for you. The same goes for lesbians, crossdressers, transgenders, swingers, whoremongers, etc. If consistent, having more than one husband or wife at the same time would be ethical. If consistent, bestiality would be ethical. Postmodernism removes the ability to distinguish between good and evil. And that's what I think one of Kierkegaard's, one of Nietzsche's books is called Beyond Good and Evil. He's talking about the death of the Christian worldview. Beyond good and evil, beyond right and wrong in any objective manner. The only position considered wrong, dangerous, or immoral by the postmodern mind is the one that says there are ethical standards, that our ethical standards come from God and therefore they're transcendent. Unchanging, universal, truly just, objective. Even though we are told that autonomous man can determine for himself his own truth or ethics, the Christian view is deemed evil, wrong, bad, homophobic, tyrannical, dangerous, because we hold to God's law or objective truth. Now, they actually don't say there are that's a truth. They don't believe there are any truths. They don't believe there are any truths, but then they turn around and want to impose their version of reality on society. And they're even, you know, willing to use violent, you know, they'll stop people from speaking on campus by yelling and screaming and threatening violence. It's really quite crazy. The claims of the Bible, Bible-believing Christianity, are not proved to be untrue objectively. They are simply rejected a priori because they claim to be based on objective truth. Those who hold to this position, that there are no absolutes, rage against Bible-believing Christians as intolerant haters. Okay, this is what's going on in our society. The idea that God has spoken and there are transcendent ethical absolutes that are universal and unchanging is rejected as intolerant, unloving, hateful, bigoted, etc. There is no truth at all, and everything is subjective and arbitrary, but you don't have a right to hold to your view. So it's very inconsistent. Consequently, the modern left, and to a large extent, even the libertarian, will tell Christians that they must tolerate all things except the biblical world and life view. And it means that Christians must live on the unbeliever's terms. If he is to speak in the public square, if he is to teach in the public school, if he is to govern as a civil magistrate or judge, he must submit to the postmodern, secular terms. Otherwise, he's not welcome. And, you know, watch, for example, a guy who was up for something in the Trump administration who's a Christian. And Bernie Sanders had found something he said where he said that about homosexuality or something when he was speaking at a church or something. I forget exactly what it was. And Bernie Sanders rakes him over the coals. You know, how dare you? Well, that's a rejection of freedom of religion, for one thing. It's a rejection of our Constitution. He's a statist. He's a communist. The postmodern mind seeks to deny the Bible-believing Christian any influence in society simply because true Christians deny human autonomy and ethics. Believers deny the radical relativism of the postmodernists. They deny the idea that man creates his own particular truths. Now, I shouldn't use the word truths because they don't believe in truths, but they believe in narratives of power or whatever, or moral values subjectively. For the postmodernist, man is the measure of all things. Sinful, finite, ignorant man is placed on the throne of all reality. And thus, in the name of toleration and equality, Christianity must be suppressed and eliminated from society and culture. The dogmas of Bible-believing Christianity must be denied and suppressed because they are claims of absolute truth. Now, here's some statistics. And once again, they're a bit dated. I have a book in my library from the 90s. So they're a bit dated, and I didn't want to drive to the library. But they're going to help us see how the worldview change in America progressed. In 1969, after a number of years of the sexual revolution, 68% of Americans still believe that sexual relations before marriage were wrong and immoral. So about 70% of Americans believed it was wrong to have sex before you're married in 1969. In 1987, around 4 years after the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, that is, less than half of Americans believed that premarital sex was wrong. Less than half. By 1992, the number dropped to only 33% of Americans believe that premarital sex was wrong. And today the numbers, I would imagine, are probably in the 20s. This change, of course, has led to young people putting off marriage and family to have an extended period of fornication or sexual immorality before getting married. And such immoral practices mean that when most people get married today, they have a lot of baggage and unrealistic expectations into the marriage, and this, of course, leads to a very high divorce rate. According to one poll, 56% of young unmarried evangelicals are engaged in premarital sex. 56%. Among Roman Catholics who believe that law-keeping and good works are necessary for obtaining salvation, 66% are sexually active before marriage. While over 67% of Americans fully accept premarital sex as okay and moral, 83% of Roman Catholics believe premarital sex is moral or okay, which of course explicitly denies the teachings of the Bible and the Roman Catholic Church. Around 50% of Protestants and Roman Catholics in America believe that abortion should be legal. I imagine it's higher now. This is in the 90s. 49% of evangelicals and 71% of Roman Catholics believe that euthanasia is okay and should be legal. Well, historically, there's always been a certain amount of hypocrisy among professing Christians. In the old days, people still believed that such behavior was immoral and were ashamed of that behavior. People still had premarital sex in the old days. Not nearly as much as now. But when they did it, they felt bad about it, and they knew it was wrong. They didn't say it was okay and just revel in it. Today, people openly practice immoral behavior and boldly, openly, habitually reject God's law. The killing of unborn children in the womb used to be considered a despicable form of murder. It was an unspeakable evil reserved for prostitutes and moral degenerates. Today, it's not only illegal, but it has been wedded to the idea of women's rights. If you don't believe it's okay for women to murder their children, then you're considered to be anti-women. That's what the Democrats say. That's what the political left says, which is insane. Over half, you know, half of the babies that are murdered are women or female. Deny women the right to slaughter their unborn babies and commit the most vile and despicable form of child abuse, murder, and dismemberment of innocent babies is now considered, to forbid that is now considered evil and dangerous. So the ethics of Stalin and Himmler have come home to roost among feminists. Postmodernist thought is a form of madness. Here's what Proverbs 8:36 says. Now, you know, when I talk about ethics and I talk about truth, keep in mind the true postmodernists, these self-conscious postmodernists, there's a number of scholars, they're pretty much all professors in universities, deny there's truth. They don't use the word truth. Proverbs 8:36 says, "He who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me love death." Now, the family is the central custodian of property of children, and to redefine the family in postmodern humanistic terms is to weaken it and help destroy it. On the one hand, the postmodernist wants men to treat women with respect, while on the other hand, it teaches that women should live like whores and they should murder their unborn babies when convenient. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Now, when society abandons ethical absolutes, when society abandons God's law, and refuses to condemn sexual immorality, God will bring judgment on that society. The rise of sexually transmitted diseases since the 1960s, the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s. When the AIDS epidemic happened, if homosexuality wasn't legal and practiced widely in America, of course not. And of course, the great poverty and hardships that come as a result of adultery and divorce, especially to women and children. Even worse is the wrath of God that comes on fornicators on the day of judgment. Proverbs 21:10. The soul of the wicked desires evil. Proverbs 6:32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Proverbs 7:2, 3, and 5. Keep my commands and live. Write them on the tablet of your heart, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Now, the second thing about postmodernism is the idea that we create our own truth or reality. And they don't use the word truth. They wouldn't use the word truth. They don't believe there's such a thing. This aspect of postmodernism, to an extent, is a revival or continuation of the 19th century romanticism and a post-Kantian way of thinking, of viewing reality. The Enlightenment placed reason above all. Reason would solve all a man's problems. Reason would discover truth. We don't need the Bible. We don't need God telling us what to do. Man, autonomous human reason, we're going to figure everything out. Romanticism was a reaction against this view, and it placed emotion and feelings on the throne as a source of meaning. One wanted to get away from the effects of civilization and then get back to one's natural state. One must trust in the self, in the non-rational, the natural part of nature, or things uncorrupted by society. We must get close to nature as possible. People are born innocent and good. They, uncorrupted by society, should be trusted to come up with truth, goodness, and fulfillment of self. Now, this influenced the modern way of thinking, or what we call postmodernism, but postmodernists would deny this. This started in the early 19th century. Now, we see this type of feeling with parents who deliberately refuse to teach their children a religion or philosophy of life because the children are good or innocent, and thus they are better able to come up with their own philosophy of life. Have you ever seen people like this? Well, I don't teach my kids about religion. I don't teach my kids any philosophy of life. I'm going to leave that up to them. They're going to come up with their own philosophy of life. And then you wonder why there's so much crime and there's shootings and all kinds of things going on that are horrible. Well, that's why. Because it's this rejection of man being evil, the rejection of the fall, the rejection of man's total depravity. Meaning is not discovered through revelation from God or even by studying the objective world. It is formed within self. And they followed Kant, who argued that we really do not know the natural world as it is. We only know it as it is shaped and structured by the human mind. Kant is considered part of the Enlightenment in studies in colleges, but he's really radical. He's really different. He's a shift away from it. He said that reason cannot really attain truth. Empiricism really doesn't obtain objective truth because it's shaped by your mind. And then, of course, Van Til and Gordon Clark come along later, and they point out the obvious, that, look, you have to study objective reality. But you have to keep in mind that your presuppositions are going to influence the way you interpret reality. So what is important is to be true to self and to seek self-fulfillment. We create meaning for ourselves, and we must not impede the subjective concept of meaning within others. Everyone has his own private reality, and therefore everyone's views must be respected as true. And this is where we get the idea that my view of reality is true and good for me, your view of reality is true and good for you, even though they contradict each other. Now, this is how postmodernism affects everyday life, but the postmodernists would not say that anything is true for you and anything is true for me. They deny truth. They talk in terms of simply power and linguistic constructs and so forth. The philosophical basis of postmodernism is romanticism, and really modernism, taken to its logical extreme, and of course, existentialism. What is important is not some objective truth, but being true to self and seeking self-fulfillment in sincerity and dedication to self. The use of drugs to help find self, or sexual experimentation to help find self, the appeal to meditation and mysticism to find self, and the unbridled hedonism of the 1960s and sexual revolution are all supposed to help man find self and self-fulfillment. Now, I'm placing that within the sphere of postmodernism, but postmodernism, strictly speaking, really comes from the Marxist movement in France, where these Marxists changed their worldview to postmodernism simply to control society and implement socialism and statism and have control over people and power over people. Therefore, that, you know, every white man's a racist. Every man is a sexist. Society is all racist. This is where these ideas come from. They're not based on objective fact. They're based on a construct. And of course, we noted when you discussed Woodstock, the hippie movement was a revival of Romanticism. It succeeded as a movement because the modernism of most parents was not a viable worldview. The corrupt, materialistic, epistemologically ignorant, permissive parents produced a generation of hedonistic, selfish, lazy malcontents. They rejected traditional American values because their parents had already destroyed the foundation of such values by embracing modernism. Modernism produces postmodernism, because modernism produces Marxism. The rationalists or modernists would condemn Christianity for being pre-modern, mythological, unscientific, irrational. The postmodernist condemns Christians for believing in objective truths, for holding to ethical absolutes, for arguing that man is not God and that men do not create their own reality. There is an objective reality by virtue of creation, by an infinite personal God. Postmodernism is a perfect worldview for fallen, sinful human beings who want to be free from all restrictions, from any concept of objective transcendent ethics. It is the philosophy of Satan in the garden who told Eve not to believe God or to listen to him, but rather to determine truth and meaning and ethics for herself. And of course, what's bad is the modern postmodernistic movement is connected to Marxism, and it seeks to upturn everything in society and impose power, their version of truth, their version of reality on society, which is Marxism, which is socialism. And then third, where has postmodernism led our society, generally speaking? With a system of thought that denies foundations and replaces them with pure subjectivism, we see a few things occurring that are very disturbing. In intellectual circles, such as universities, left-wing think tanks, and colleges, truth claims are denied and replaced with narratives. Okay, there is no truth. There are only narratives and meta-narratives. And the old narratives are racist and sexist and homophobic. We need to replace these narratives with our narratives, the postmodernist narratives, which are socialist and so forth. The foci of study becomes awareness of propaganda, not searches for truth. Everything is viewed as propaganda. One comes up with a narrative out of one's presuppositions and feelings, and then this narrative is used as if it was truth to manipulate others for power and political gain. So the whole purpose of the old narrative of modernism was to exploit people by colonialism and slavery and racism and all these things. And our job as postmodernists is to overthrow everything to do with Western culture and society and replace it with, of course, radical statism, lack of freedom, and socialism. We see this recently in the New York Times contention that the purpose of the original settlers in America was to establish slavery. Is that historically accurate? Absolutely not. It has nothing to do with history or objectivity at all. Were there slave owners? Yes, but they didn't come here to establish slavery. The postmodernist Patricia Wegg writes this, quote, "History is a network of antagonistic language games where the criteria for success is performance, not truth." So truth is denied with Marxist overtones, and the purpose is power, control. Thus, modern scholarship is not a search for an objective reality or truth, but a form of advocacy scholarship. Everything is revisionist theories today, revisionist views of history, revisionist views of Western literature, revisionist views of the humanities and so forth. The history of Europe and America, of course, was written primarily by white males. Eurocentric scholarship is assumed to be biased, racist, capitalist, and anti-gay. Therefore, everything must be rewritten according to our feelings and concepts of reality. So if you send your kids to college now to study Western civilization, they're not going to be taught at all what was taught 30 years ago or 40 years ago. They're going to be taught nothing but a bunch of Marxist propaganda. We have women's studies, Afrocentric studies, gay studies. History becomes nothing but propaganda. And the search for objective truth is completely rejected in favor of propaganda. If you look at what secular universities are teaching and left-wing politicians are saying, you think that these people have gone mad. But they are simply following postmodernism, whether they are aware of it or not. Once you understand how postmodernism works, you'll understand what's going on campus, what's going on with Antifa, what's going on with the Democratic Party, why it's shifted so radically to the left. Because the big wigs of postmodernism all come out of, especially in France, they all come out of Marxism. They replaced Marxism with postmodernism. This environmentalism today is postmodernist. All this stuff is postmodernist. So postmodernism has resulted in two things, academically and politically. First, when people do not believe in objective truths, they believe that we create our own truths, even though they don't call it truth, but they still hold to their version of truth, then they cannot be trusted to tell the truth at all, at any time. Modern scholars are liars. And Democrats or progressive are habitual liars as well. You can't believe anything they say because they don't believe in truth. The issue is not truth or objectivity. The issue is for me to subdue your concept of power, your concept of a reality, and replace it with my concept of reality. So they don't have a problem lying at all. The Russian investigation against Trump is an excellent example. It was all based on lies. The men behind the whole thing knew it was lies from the very beginning. But for them, it was moral and good because it fit their own personal concept of reality. Trump is evil and he has to be replaced. And they'll say things like truth to power, where they don't believe in truth. It's propaganda to power. Their relativism and subjective concept of reality justified their lies, slander, and illegal behavior. The whole point was not to get to the truth. It was not to seek justice, but rather to use propaganda for political power. And this brings us to the second point. You've got to understand this to understand how the Democrats think today, why they're so radical. Cortez, the lady from New York, the wacko, basically one of her chief advisors admitted publicly that the global warming thing, the environmental thing, was really unimportant to them. It was all a means to attaining power. That's all it's used for, is to attain more political power. Now, since they believe that there are no objective meanings, that one's concept of truth or facts is simply an act of power, while they speak of every man determining his own truth, they are still totalitarian statists who want to crush those with whom they disagree. Bible-believing Christians must be crushed. Strict constitutionalists must be crushed. Free market capitalists must be crushed. They must be completely stopped and subdued. The enforcement of political correctness in academia, the arts, politics, and the public square, and their own redefinition of words in accordance with their own postmodern worldview, is all done to extend tyrannical power over others in society. It's all about gaining power. They're all ex-Marxists or closet Marxists. You must remember that postmodernism is rooted in modernism and secular humanism. Consequently, their embracing of subjectivism, existentialism, and the personal determination of ethics, although they don't believe there are ethics. It's funny, they don't believe there are any ethics. There is no truth. There is no objectivity. Yet you better submit to what I'm telling you to do, or we're going to beat the crap out of you. It's so inconsistent. They've not only eliminated the old tendency of modernism toward, they have not eliminated the old tendency toward socialism, fascism, statism, and tyranny. Freedom is for those who have adopted political correctness and the progressive propaganda. Everyone else must be suppressed or destroyed. As all pagans, they are arbitrary and inconsistent. One determines truth from reality for oneself. There are no absolutes. However, if one does not get on board with the feminist and homo agenda and the socialist agenda, if one does not advocate for abortion and statism, one is evil and must not be allowed to speak or govern. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They don't believe in freedom. They don't believe in freedoms. They believe in statism. They believe that white males, Christianity, patriarchy, sexism, and racism pervade modern Western institutions. White men have intruded in an evil social construct in society, and the postmodernist needs to deconstruct society based on their presuppositions. They follow Nietzsche, who argued that human life and culture are simply extension, outward expressions of a will to power. And they are also adhered to Marx, who reduced culture to class conflict, oppression, and economic exploitation. They look at everything through the lens of oppression. Who's oppressing who? Our job is to be radical justice warriors and impose our view of society on society by force. This paradigm is applied to the so-called poor in America, who, by the way, spend and consume more than the middle class in Canada, the United Kingdom, Russia, and many European countries. I don't know if you know that, but the poorest 20% of Americans consume more. They're not poor at all. I lived in a ghetto. You know, walking around with leather jackets and they're going out to eat and stuff. It's a joke. They follow Freud's intellectual fantasies by interpreting marriage, families, and society in general in terms of sexual repression and exploitation. Feminists speak of marriage as slavery and rape, even though many married women are very happy and would strongly disagree. Everything is viewed with suspicion. As a form of oppression and exploitation, everything must be overturned. Universities are getting away from the old classics of Western literature written by white men because these works codify and justify sexism, racism, homophobia, imperialism, economic oppression, slavery, etc. Christians must understand that the difficulties in communicating with people who are unwilling to debate the objective meaning of words and objective facts because they presuppose a conspiracy, an evil bogeyman underlying all such things. That's why they won't allow people to speak. They won't allow conservatives or even old-fashioned liberals to speak on a university campus because they don't look at these people as coming with their own ideas of what truth is and trying to objectively arrive at truth and debate the truth. They don't look at it that way. They look at these people as exploiters coming to impose their power on people, and they have to be stopped. They should not be allowed to speak. When postmodernists deconstruct a text to uncover hidden sexism or economic oppression, they reveal more about their own perverted presuppositions than objective reality. For them, truth is not the issue. The issue is always power. These are the new social justice warriors who want to pull everything down and replace it with totalitarian socialism. A postmodernist writer, Stephen Connor, says that the goal of scholarship is, quote, no longer truth but performativity. No longer what kind of research will lead to the discovery of verifiable facts, but what kind of research will work best. Where working best means producing research along the same lines. The university or institution of learning cannot in these circumstances be concerned with transmitting knowledge in itself, but must be tied ever more narrowly to the principle of performativity, so that the question asked by teacher, student, and government must now no longer be, is it true, but rather, what use is it, and how much is it worth? End of quote. So this paradigm of thought explains why postmodernist academia is obsessed with political correctness and the promotion of ideological agendas, especially socialism. everything boils down to the pragmatic power struggle against absolutes in a Christian worldwide view. And this thinking explains why the mainstream media has degenerated into left-wing political propaganda. They're no longer interested in what the truth is and reporting the facts. You look at the old guy, you know, Walter Cronkite and those guys from the 60s. They were left-wing, but you could still depend on them to try to be somewhat objective in giving a story. Now, today, you can't depend on that at all, especially when talking about things with which they disagree. They don't want to discover truth and relay it, but to advance socialism and other left-wing agendas. If this means ignoring the lies, the corruption, the crimes of the left, so be it. If this means perverting, distorting, and outright lying about those on the right, so be it. And this explains why Democratic politicians lie about virtually everything. Lying and propaganda move their ideological agenda forward. For them, the truth can only be their subjective consideration of reality. Therefore, even though socialism, even though they don't, you know, the strict ones don't deny there are truth, there are truths. Therefore, even though socialism has been a complete disaster in every nation and has ever been tried, it is still true and good because that is my subjective reality. When it fails in a country like Venezuela or Cuba or the Soviet Union or Cambodia or China or wherever, it is not socialism's fault. It has to be interference from capitalists and imperialists. Those who argue that there's no objective truth are, of course, asserting a blatant contradiction. They're claiming the universal truth that there can be no truth. And then they're imposing their version of reality, their concept of truth, on everyone else through coercion. A philosopher which denies logic and objective truth is, of course, any philosophy like that is, of course, nonsense. It is self-refuting. But be aware that deconstructionists revel in contradictions and the absurd. And the absurdity of their position does not deter them one iota from the leftist dogmatism and the various forms of statism. They're after socialism. Deconstructionists have been the modern champions of destroying free speech on college campuses, and they think it is evil and wicked to say anything that challenges their own personal reality. So they deny ethics, they deny absolutes, they deny truth, and yet anybody who's in search of truth and wants to argue with them objectively and have an honest debate, they must be destroyed and not allowed to speak on campus. But I just touched on this. It's one of these things where by the time I got done writing this and I studied it more, I wish I could have rewrote all this because it's really quite complex. One thing you have to understand, the head guys of this philosophy in France were all Marxists. They're all Marxists who were seeking a world and life view where they could hang on to this idea of exploitation and revolution without using Marxism, which is such an obvious failure. So they brought in postmodernism. And it's behind the radical left and the Democratic Party. It's behind what's going on the college campuses. On the popular common level, it's behind this whole idea that what's true for you is true for you, what's true for me is true for me. You know, if you want to have sex with a camel, that's fine for you. But, you know, it's insanity. But you have to understand this to understand what's going on in our society and culture, and we have to deal with it apologetically as Christians and emphasize creation by an infinite personal God. God created the world. There is something here that's real, that's tangible, that's objective. It's a universe, not a multiverse. God created man in the image of God. Therefore, man has the ability, intrinsic, given by God, to study and know the truth. Now, you have to understand the fall as well and see that everything must be in terms of submitting, believing in Jesus Christ and submitting of him to, in order to understand the truth correctly and divine revelation and faith. But if you don't understand postmodernism to an extent, you're going to have a real heck of a time witnessing on a college campus, and you're going to understand why people are trying to just shut you down and possibly beat your face in. So I hope this helps a little bit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Bible. We thank you that you have created reality. We thank you that you have given us Jesus Christ and salvation. We thank you that there is absolute truth, there is absolute ethics, and that ethics, true morality, is based on your nature and character. And it doesn't change. It is absolute. We can't depend on it. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us truth. yes, he gave us human reason, but we have to use have proper presuppositions in order to use human reason correctly. We must presuppose the Word of God and the Lordship of Christ to use reason correctly. We need revelation in order to use reason. We need Christ in order to think correctly. So help us, Lord, to cast all our imaginations behind us and submit solely to the Lordship of Christ and His Word. Jesus.